أهل السنة والجماعة Media presents The Eternal Teacher Paradox by Sheikh Bilal Dhannoun.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His mercy. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evils of our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide. And whomsoever is left to go astray, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them. I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight, I want to embark with you on a journey to one of the most mentioned places in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. A place known in Arabic as Jannah. And so, in my presentation, I'll be referring to it as either Jannah or Paradise. Now, to prepare for this journey, or for any journey, usually what we do is we find out about the destination that we are going towards. So tonight I want to talk about and describe Jannah in a concise way. And I say concise because I'm not going to be able to mention everything about Jannah, because there is too much that is being mentioned in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. But I want to paint a picture, inshaAllah, that will motivate you to work towards this abode. But more importantly, after my description, I want to share with you the path, and namely the shortcuts to paradise, or the shortcuts that lead to Jannah. Now, I want to begin tonight by mentioning a story with you. A story about the last person who will enter Jannah. The last person to enter paradise. As for the hadith, which is found in Sahih Muslim, it is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this story. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the last person to enter paradise will be a man who will walk once over the sirat, which is above Jahannam, and he will stumble once, and he will be burned by the fire once. And then when he makes it across and he is saved from falling into the pit of the hellfire, he says, blessed is he who has saved me from you, saved me from the fire. He says, Allah has given me something He has not given to any one of those in the earlier or latter times. So he considers himself to be the luckiest person. And so after he passes the sirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He plants a tree for him. And so he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him close to this tree so he can be under its shade and so he can drink from its water. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He places him under this tree. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He plants another tree, even better than the first one. And so he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring me close to this tree so that I can take from its shelter and drink from its water. Now previously, he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that he will not ask for anything more. But he can't help himself. And so, he is drawn near to this tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to him, O son of Adam, if I grant you this, will you ask me for anything more? He says, I'm not going to ask for anything more. And so he comes to this tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he excuses him because he sees what he cannot help desiring. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then plants another tree. And then he asks, O Allah, please bring me close to this tree so I can be under its shade and drink from its water. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, didn't you tell me that you're not going to ask for anything else? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excuses him and he places him under this tree. And then he hears the people that are in Jannah. And so he says, O Allah, bring me close to the door of Jannah. Bring me close to the door of Jannah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he excuses him and he makes a promise to Allah that he's not going to ask for anything more. And so he's placed at the door of Jannah. And then when he's at the door of Jannah, he can hear the people in Jannah celebrating, being, happy. And he says, Oh Allah, admit me into Jannah. I want to enter Jannah. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to him, O son of Adam, what will bring an end to your request from me? Will it please you if I give you the whole world? If I give you the whole world and a similar one to it, he says to him, O Allah, are you mocking me, though you are the Lord of the world? And so at this point, Ibn Mas'ud, the narrator of the hadith, he begins to laugh. And so he's telling the story to the companions, and he says to the companions, are you not going to ask me why am I laughing? And they said, why are you laughing? He said, I am laughing at the account of the laugh of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he's telling it in exactly the same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the story. And then the companions, they actually ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you laughing, O Messenger of Allah? He says, I am laughing at the laugh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards this man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, I am not mocking you, but I have the power to do whatever I wish. And so this man will enter paradise. And when he enters paradise, he finds and he enters into his home in Jannah, his two wives from amongst the Hur al-Ain will come in and they will say to him, praise be to Allah who brought you to life for us and brought us to life for you. And then he will say, no one has been given what I have been given. This is the last person to enter paradise. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, paradise and hellfire have already been created. They are in existence at this very moment. And Imam al-Tahawi, who has a book called the Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, he mentions that paradise and hell have already been created and they will never come to an end and cease to exist. And he says that Allah the Exalted created paradise and hell before the rest of creation. Jannah is the retirement package for every muwahid, for every person who says La ilaha illallah with sincerity and meets the conditions of the kalima of tawheed. Jannah is for every mu'min, for every believer, for the one who believes in the six articles of faith. Al-Imanu Billah, wa Malaikatihi, wa Kutubihi, wa Rusulihi, wal Yawmi Al-Akhir, wal Qada wal Qadr. Jannah is for the Muslim who adheres to the five pillars of Islam, who adheres to أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله إقام الصلاة إيتاء الزكاة صوم رمضان and حج البيت. Jannah is for every muhsin, the one who believed and who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite never having seen him, yet acknowledging that he sees you, and this is known as ihsan. Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters, is the dwelling for the one who ransoms himself from entering hell through the good deeds. Let me share with you a verse from Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل نفس الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every soul shall taste death. Death is inevitable. And you will only be given your full compensation on the day of resurrection. So he who is drawn away from the fire, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, the one who is drawn away from the fire and admitted to paradise has attained success. فَقَدْ فَازْ. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. That the life of this world is nothing except an enjoyment of delusion. The beautiful and exotic imagery of Jannah was never described to any of the scriptures of the past, to any of the people of the past, in such intricate detail as it was explained to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the Quran and through the Sunnah. Paradise is one of those topics of the ghaib, of the unseen. So this evening I will only describe Jannah in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Know, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that Jannah is beyond description. No matter how much I talk about it tonight, it will never be a sufficient or an exact imagery of the Jannah. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have prepared for my righteous slaves what the eye has not seen, what the ear has not heard, and that which does not even come to the mind of any person. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no self knows what delight has been hidden for them in recompense for what they used to do. As for the houses in Jannah, the houses in Jannah, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, are not like the dwellings of this dunya created by creation. They have been created by the creator of creation. The bricks of the house in Jannah will be of gold and silver. And the mortar, the cement that brings the bricks together He's made out of musk. He's made out of musk. And you don't have to worry about maintaining these houses. They are already self-maintained. And in the hadith which is found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad. Yani by Allah. Each of them, in other words, each person that will enter paradise will know his dwelling. You will recognize your house in paradise better than you know your dwelling, your house in the dunya. Subhanallah. You will recognize, you see a house and you'll know that that is my house. As for the rivers of Jannah, in Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسِنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, an image of the garden promised to the muttaqun, to those who are the righteous. In it there are rivers of water that will never spoil, it will never get contaminated. Rivers of milk whose taste will never change. Rivers of wine, delightful to all who drink it. And rivers of honey, undiluted purity. And in the hadith which is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily in the Jannah is an ocean of honey, an ocean of the stuff. An ocean of wine, an ocean of milk, and an ocean of water, then the rivers will be formed thereafter. So the rivers of Jannah will actually be formed from these oceans. And there's a surah that many of us, I'm sure, read in our salat, especially in our very busy lives, because it's such a short surah. What surah am I referring to? Surah Al-Kawthar. Of course, we all know it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ. Have you ever thought about what the kawthar is? Have you ever thought about it? I just would love to see some hands. Who knows what kawthar is about? Raise your hands. You have a guess. Subhanallah. Okay, raise your hands if you read Surah Al-Kawthar in Salat. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Don't get that on camera. Allahu Musta'an. Tayyib. Kawthar, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is a river in Jannah. It is a river in Jannah in which its banks, the banks of the river, are made of domes of hollow pearls. Its mud is musk. Its pebbles are pearls. Its water is whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And around this river, there will be birds with necks. And the Prophet ﷺ said, like the necks of camels. They'll have long necks and they will drink from this river. As for the trees of paradise, in the hadith which is found in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is a tree in paradise that is so huge that a fast rider, not any rider, a fast rider may travel in its shade for 100 years without being able to cross the shade of the tree. 100 years. And in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَظِلٍّ مَمْدُودٍ and a zil, and an extended shade. And in the hadith which is found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is not a tree in Jannah, but its trunk, the trunk of the tree is made out of gold. As for the age and the appearance of a person in Jannah, as per Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the age of the people who enter Jannah will be 33. They will all be 33 years old. Ibn al-Qayyim, a renowned scholar of Islam, he said, there is obvious wisdom behind this. For it is the most perfect age at which one is most able to enjoy physical pleasures, and the age at which one's health and one's strength are most perfect. Every person that will enter paradise will enter in the best appearance, in the best form, resembling Adam alayhi salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with his own hands. And in the hadith found in Muslim, every person will be 60 cubits tall. In other words, they'll be 30 meters high. In Jannah, there's no urinating, there's no defecating, there's no mucus which comes out from a person. The manner in which a person relieves themselves is by belching, by sweating. The sweat will have a fragrance like that of musk. In the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first group to enter paradise will be beautiful with bright faces resembling a full moon. They will not spit. They will not blow their noses or excrete. Their vessels will be of gold. Their combs of gold and silver. Their incense of aloe and their sweat of musk. In Jannah, each man will be married to two women, and they are called Hurul Ain, the wide-eyed female companions of Jannah. In the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each of them will have two wives. And the reason they'll have two is they will have the wife that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for that person. And they will take the second wife, which is the wife that was destined for that person who is now in the hellfire. And the marrow of the bones of her legs will be visible through their flesh, due to their extreme beauty. The whiteness of their eyes will be exceedingly white, and their pupils will be exceedingly dark. And in the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a huri from paradise appeared to the people of the earth, she would fill the space between the heavens and the earth with light and a pleasant scent. They are chaste and modest, limiting their glances only towards their husband. So they don't look at other men. To them, they become content and happy just by looking at their husband. In terms of their purity, their color and beauty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He resembles them to rubies and coral. And in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان. They've never been touched by a human or a jinn. In other words, they are virgins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. These women will have beautiful voices which they use to sing to their husbands. As for the best reward in Jannah, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For in the surah of Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ
He says, some faces that day shall be shining, looking at their Lord, looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the inmates of paradise will clearly see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like they see the sun on a cloudless day, or like they see the moon on a cloudless night. And in the hadith found in Bukhari, and it is found in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the inhabitants of Jannah enter Jannah, Allah will ask them all. He will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, ask the Muslim, the Muwahid, the Mu'min, the Muhsin. He's going to say, is there anything I can give you more? Imagine being asked that question by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they will say, have you not made our faces radiant? Have you not entered us into Jannah? Have you not saved us from the hellfire? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will uncover the veil for everyone to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that moment, there will be nothing more beloved to them than seeing their Lord. What is the least a person will have in Jannah? The answer is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Musa, Prophet Musa ibn Amran, عليه السلام وعلى نبينا السلام, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about who is the one who has the least in Jannah, the least. So he is informed that he is a man who will come after the people have all entered paradise. So everyone's taken their place in paradise and they've entered it. And then it will be said to him, go and enter Jannah. You're free, go and enter. So he enters the Jannah, and he looks around, and he thinks there's no place for him. He sees that it's full. So he will go back, and he says, oh Lord, I found it full. And so it will be said to him, would you be pleased, if there was a kingdom for you, like one of the kingdoms of the world? And he says, I'll be pleased, my Lord. I'm happy with that, a kingdom. You know, I'll be happy with a little suburb. So Allah will say, he didn't say that part, by the way, the suburb part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and for you is the like, you know, the like of the kingdom. And for you is the like, and for you is the like, and for you is the like. Five times the like. And so the man, he says that this is, I'm pleased with this. Enough. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for you and 10 times alike. La ilaha illallah. And for you is what you desire, and what is pleasurable to your eyes. And in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a few words, he encapsulates what the reward of Jannah is about. And he says, the area of a whip's length, the length of a whip in Jannah, is better than the dunya and than what it contains. So this is just a brief description of Jannah, in which I hope I have motivated you to work and make sacrifices for it, which brings me to the second part of my presentation. How does a person attain Jannah? What are the keys of Jannah? What's the path to Jannah? And are there any shortcuts to Jannah? In the hadith which is found in Sahih Bukhari, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him, مَتَ السَّاعَةُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ When is the day of judgment? When is the hour, O Messenger of Allah? Listen to the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't give him the answer directly. He said to him, مَاذَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا What have you prepared for it? It doesn't matter when the hour is going to be. Inevitably it's going to happen. But what is more important is what have you and I prepared for Jannah. And so the way to paradise is filled with the things that go against the human wishes and that go against the inclinations and go against our desires. In the hadith which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hellfire has been veiled, and in a narration it has been surrounded with desires. And paradise has been veiled or surrounded with hardships. Imam an-Nawawi, commenting on this, he said, this is a beautiful analogy given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means that nothing will help you reach paradise except going through hardships. And nothing will lead you to hell but whims and desires. So hellfire, we can compare it to a water slide. If you let go and you just live in the dunya, it will be easy to do the actions worthy of the hellfire. However, Jannah is like a mountain. You need to struggle and you need to work hard. Just like the dunya. In the dunya, if you want to get to places, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be rich, if you want something which is of value and worth to you, you need to make sacrifices. You need to work hard. You need to make some commitment. And likewise, the same is with the Jannah. One of the most important, one of the paths that lead to Jannah is loving Allah and loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and loving the Muslims in general. In the earlier hadith, that Bedouin that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, when is the hour? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, what have you prepared for it? What was his response? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have not prepared much in terms of prayer, and he's referring to optional prayers, and good works. I haven't done much, but I love Allah and I love His Messenger. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with those that you love. Following in the footsteps of the greatest man to have set on the face of this earth, the footsteps of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what will earn you Jannah. In the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of my ummah, all of my followers will enter Jannah except for the one who refuses. إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. كُلُّ أُمَّةِ يَدْخُلُونَ جَنَّةً إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Except for the one who refuses. So the companions, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who will refuse to enter Jannah, O Messenger of Allah? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me has refused. And we find in Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say the following words. He says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad, tell the people, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, He didn't command His Prophet to tell the people that they need to love you, because loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mandate. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the hadith which is found in Bukhari, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you are true believers until I am more beloved to him than his father, than his son and all of mankind. So the love of Allah and the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not through lip service, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. It's not just about being vocal in your love. That's not enough. We need to translate this love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into a reality. And I want to share with you a story. A student of the Shaykh comes to him one day and he says to him, I want to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. I want to see him. What is the formula? What is the equation? How can I see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream? And so the Shaykh says to him, look, come over this evening and I will show you how you're going to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll tell you how. So he comes over and the Shaykh prepares a meal for him. And on the table spread, he has food which is very salty. He puts a lot of salt in the food and there's a lot of pickles. And you know what this can lead to? Thirst. And there's no water on the table spread. No water. He says, Shaykh, some water please. He has no water. But Shaykh, khalas, no water. So he obeys his teacher. He's a good student, alhamdulillah. And so the Shaykh says to him, inshallah you now go inside and you sleep. And in the morning I'll teach you how to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream. So the man goes to sleep, wakes up the next morning, Shaykh comes to him and says, so what happened last night, how did things go, anything out of the ordinary? He says to him, Shaykh, I had dreams. Khair inshallah, what dreams did you have? He said, I dreamt, I saw rain. I saw rivers, I saw oceans. So all of his dream was about what? Water. So the Shaykh says to him, he says to him, your intention was sincere, hence your dream was in conformity to that which you were truthful regarding. And if you were truthful regarding your love of the Prophet ﷺ, if that was true, then you would have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream. So it's not just about saying, I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not just saying, I'm a Muslim, I'm a mu'min. You need to prove that love. Which brings me now to some of the shortcuts, inshaAllah, that can bring a person to Jannah a lot quicker if they adhere to them. And the reason I've mentioned this, because the concept of shortcuts is embedded into all of human beings. We all like shortcuts. And we all look at ways of becoming rich quick. Or, you know, making a quick dollar. Or making it to the top real quickly. We're always looking for loopholes or ways. And so, also we find in Islam, there are shortcuts in almost every act of worship. There are shortcuts with regards to things that you can actually say with the tongue that can enter you paradise. And there are shortcuts with regards to actions. I want to begin and just share with you some shortcuts which I have collected for you. Some of the sayings, for example, you can say, Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. If you say this 100 times in the morning and in the evening, let's see what the result is. In the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times, no one will come on the day of resurrection with anything better than him except for the one who said the same as he said umu. 100 times. What's the phrase? Subhanallah wa bihamdi. 100 times. Also you can say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Which means, there is no strength And there is no might except with Allah. In the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ سَيْ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, for it is one of the treasures of paradise. Also, I remind you to read the Qur'an. And do not be from amongst those who have abandoned the Qur'an. In the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who recites the Qur'an and he reads it fluently will be in the company of the obedient and noble angels. And he who reads the Qur'an with difficulty will have double the reward. So don't be discouraged, my dear respected brothers and sisters, if you're a person who does not know how to read the Qur'an properly. We say work, try, even if you stutter, you will receive double the reward. And when you begin to memorize and read it fluently, you will be amongst the obedient and noble angels. So also, for example, from amongst the sayings is reciting Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is the greatest verse in the Qur'an. And so it is in chapter called Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255. And this is a verse that every Muslim should know. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after each obligatory salat, nothing stands in his way to paradise except death. So all that stands between you and paradise is death. Moisten your tongues with the remembrance of Allah. And don't underestimate the great reward that awaits. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. And the men and the women who remember Allah very much, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward, in other words, paradise. Also, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you, to grant you the highest level of Jannah, which is the Firdaus. And don't hold back from asking anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are a sinner, even if you are a sinful person. In the hadith Qudsi found in Sunan Tirmidhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ قَامُوا عَلَى صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ فَسَأَلُونِي فَأَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مَسْأَلَتَهِ مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَطُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the first generations and the last generations, the human of you and the jinn of you, were they all to rise up on one place and make a request of me, and I were to give everyone what he requested, that would not decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases the sea if it is put in it. SubhanAllah. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the sayings that you can do to earn you Jannah. As for some physical actions, know that there are 8 gates in paradise according to the different types of worship. And as for Sahih Bukhari, whoever was one of the people of prayer, he will be called from the gate of prayer. And the ones who were from the people of jihad will be called from the gate of jihad. And the ones who were the people of Siyam, of fasting, they will be called from the bab of Ar-Rayyan, the door of Rayyan. And whoever was amongst the people who give charity will be called from the gate of charity. I remind you to Spread salam. Say salamu alaykum to one another. Feed the poor. Not sever the ties of kinship and to offer the night prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith found in Ibn Majah, Ya ayyuhal nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu al-ta'am, wa silu al-arham, wa sallu wa nasu niyam, tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, spread salam, say assalamu alaykum. Salamu alaykum, not only to those that you know, but also to those that you don't know from amongst your Muslim brethren. Feed the poor. Maintain the family ties. Offer the salat when people are asleep, qiyam, tahajjud. And you will enter paradise in peace. When someone comes up to you, and they're asking for charity, and they're asking for sadaqah, you should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sent someone to take your money from you and send it to the hereafter where it will await for you and where you will need it the most. And sadaqah and giving towards the poor and needy, especially in this day and age, is very, very crucial. In December of 2004, I came across a statistic which said that half of the children of the world, half of the children of the world are suffering countless number of illnesses as a result of war, as a result of AIDS, and as a result of poverty. Billions of dollars are being spent on military equipment and funding in the name of nationalism and other isms, instead of spending on those who are the poor and the destitute, those who are in need. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I remind you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the ways to enter Jannah is to possess a good character. In the hadith found in Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I guarantee a house in Jannah. I guarantee a house in the surroundings of Jannah for the person who avoids quarreling, for the person who avoids argumentation, even if he was in the right. And I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who avoids lying, even if he is joking. And I guarantee a house in the upper parts of Jannah for the one who has an excellent character. And in more than one hadith, we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising us to have a good character. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُدْرِكُ بِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمِ وَالْقَائِمِ. That indeed a person through good character reaches the level of the one who continuously fasts and the one who stands up in night prayers. Even if you perfect your wudu, that can enter you Jannah. For in the hadith which is found in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone performs the wudu completely and then he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, the eight gates of paradise will be open for him and he may enter by whichever of the gate he wishes. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to adhere to 12 prayers, 12 optional prayers. And that if a person adheres to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them will build a house for Jannah for him. And they are the four sunnah which are before Dhuhr, the two sunnah after the Dhuhr, the two sunnah after Maghrib, the two sunnah after Isha, and the two sunnah which are before Fajr, and the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Also, my dear brothers in Islam, and my dear sisters, I remind you to perform Hajj as soon as possible. Don't delay it. Don't have this mentality that say, oh, you'll do it, you know, when you get married. Or you do it when I get older. Who gave you any guarantee that you're going to get married? Who gave you any guarantee that you're going to get older and live to go to Mecca? How do you know that you're not going to be afflicted with an illness or a disease or a sickness? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Hajjul Mabrur, an accepted Hajj has no reward except paradise. I remind you to also be lenient when it comes to buying and when it comes to selling. And in the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah admitted a man into paradise because he was lenient in his buying and selling. He's easy, doesn't make it difficult. And in paying back and demanding his money. And in the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, there was a merchant who used to lend money to the people. And whenever his debtor was in strange circumstances, he would say to his employees, forgive him, so that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. Forgive him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. I want to make a special address to the married sisters. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave every Muslim married sister an equation, a formula that will grant her paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَفِظَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا قِيلَ لَهَا أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِهَا شِئْتِ. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a woman prays her five prayers, fast her month, the month of Ramadan, maintains her chastity and modesty, and obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter the garden of paradise from any of the gates you wish to enter through. I remind you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of taqwa Allah, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of Allah, to revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you are in open or in secret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one place in the Quran, He says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. And many verses, He addresses those who have taqwa. I remind you to be sincere when you're doing your acts of worship. As a wise saying, as one of the wisdoms of the past is, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُعَظِّمْهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُقَلِّهُ النِّيَّةِ. That perhaps you do a small act, but it's sincere, and you find that it is great in reward. And perhaps you do something which is great, but you're not sincere, and so you won't find any reward in it. And I remind you also, be consistent with regards to your acts of worship. In the hadith found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about which deed is the deed which is most beloved to Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that is continuous, even if it may be in small amounts. I remind you to seek knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he who treads the path in search for knowledge, Allah will make the path that leads to paradise easy. Picture yourself in Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. An eternal life. No fear of death. Safe from getting older. There's no sickness. No disease. No plagues. No sadness, anxiety, depression. You don't have to take pills. You don't have to go to psychiatrist or psychologist. There's no gossip. There's no backbiting, there's no slander, no vain talk. Imagine yourself in Jannah, in its cool shade. Water springs around you, fruits at arm's reach, whether you are standing, whether you are sitting, whether you are on your side. Imagine how glad you will be in Jannah. Glad that you possess the right aqidah. Glad that you are a Muslim in the dunya. Glad that you woke up those cold mornings for Fajr. Glad that you didn't allow laziness to stand between you and the five prayers. Glad that you fasted those long daylight saving days in Ramadan. glad, dear sister in Islam, you wore the hijab all those hot and sticky summer days. Glad that you adhered to the correct Islamic dress code. Picture your faces in Jannah shining with joy because you raised your children according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Because you didn't allow yourself to be hoodwinked by Shaitan and his agents into riba, into illicit relationships and drugs, because you kept away from major sins. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, what it would be like to enter Jannah and actually meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his angels, and meet the angels and meet the Prophet and meet the companions, to meet Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. Imagine how glad you'll be, but imagine too how glad they will be to see you, to see a generation that came after them, that believed in the message of the Quran, that believed in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite never having seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite not having lived during the 23 years of the revelation of the Quran, despite believing in the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without having seen them, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeing Him. And don't be duped by the Western world and by the media, by those who don't carry the correct belief, into thinking that real happiness is in this life. For in the hadith which is found in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to us that a person who is destined to the hellfire, the one who had a life of ease and plenty, who had a life of affluence, he will be made to dip once into the hellfire, and he will be taken out, and it will be said to him, O son of Adam, have you found any comfort? Do you recall any comfort? Did you happen to get any material blessing? He will say, no, by Allah. He would have forgotten all the good. And then a person who is destined to Jannah, who had a miserable life, who had it hard, who was poverty, who was impoverished, and he will be made to dip once in the Jannah, and it will be said to him, O son of Adam, have you ever faced any distress or hardship? And he will say, no, by Allah, I've never experienced hardships or distress. Let me conclude, inshallah ta'ala, with a short story. Jannah is the retirement package that you contributed to in this dunya. Jannah is the fruit of the seeds planted in the dunya. There once was a pious man, and he was enslaved to a wicked master. And the righteous slave wanted to teach his master a lesson that he would never forget, a lesson that would make him change his evil habits and ways. So the master one day told him to plant some wheat. So the slave took the opportunity. He went and he collected some seeds of barley and he planted them. So when the season drew near, the master was enraged to see that after all this work and time, the slave had planted the wrong seeds. So he became outraged and he said to him, why did you do this? And the righteous slave said, I had hoped that the barley seeds would come out as wheat. So the master said, how can you plant barley seeds and expect it to come out as wheat? So the slave said to his master, how can you disobey Allah and expect for His bounteous mercy? How can you openly challenge His deen and hope for Jannah? He silenced his master with these few words. And so his master said to him, you have taught me something today that I have never realized. You are free for the sake of Allah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, these are the words that I leave you with, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلني وإياكم من أهل الجنة. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more information about our CD distribution, please visit our website on aswjmedia.com.au. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.